to get off on the one thing and not do the one thing we're supposed to. You know, there's many things in life that can pull us away from our focus. You know, a laser beam is simply focused light. And I want to talk to you today about one thing. In the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, I love this verse of Scripture. This is a verse that Paul wrote in the Philippian jail, and he was basically coming close to the end of his life. He had a few more years. But I love to read about Paul's writings. He said this in Philippians 3 and 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, bless your word today as we learn again about priority. In Jesus' name, and everyone said. I love the honesty of the Apostle Paul. He comes right out and says, listen, I have not apprehended. What? You've written two-thirds of the New Testament, started churches all over the world, seen the dead raised. Really, Paul? But Paul says this. He's saying this indirectly. He said, I've learned this in life, that apprehension is something that won't be completed till the day of Christ, that I must constantly be pressing towards something. He goes, I've not apprehended. One of the ways to backslide is to think I've got it all, I've seen it all, I've heard it all, been to the church, listened to the choir, I've apprehended. Listen, the Bible tells us it'll take eternity for God to reveal himself. So Paul said, listen, I want you to know I've not apprehended. Then he says this, but this one thing I do. Everybody say one thing. Forgetting those things which are behind. He's talking about experiences. Not only the bad experiences, but the good experiences. Many times, as Pastor Deb shared, we are stuck on a yesterday experience with God. But God is new every morning. His mercies are. You know, a lot of times, well, yeah, 20 years ago I was saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. You said that 20 years ago. You haven't moved on, not from there, but to somewhere else. That's all. Listen, sometimes good experiences will keep, well, the way it used to be years ago. Well, I'm not interested right now years ago. I'm interested right now what God is doing. You see, what the body of Christ needs in this hour is a freshness. But we have been stopped because we're thinking about all the good. Oh, 2019 was better. We're stuck in this thing and we're like in a quagmire. And God says, listen, forget some of those things, good and bad, or you won't be able to press into something new. I wish I had somebody helping me this morning. Forget them. Doesn't mean the memory's going to go. All that means is you're not going to sit there and dwell on it. Who hasn't had bad experiences this year? Who hasn't dealt with even some good experiences over the last 10 years? We all have. But Paul says, I've learned this. I got to move on. How many people, churches, denominations, Christians are stuck because they're not believing God for the new thing? I want the new thing. I said, I want the new thing. Went to Penny's the other day. They had their extra large, 2X tall shirts. If you buy me a shirt, make sure it's 2X tall. Anything else, it won't work. Anyway, but anyway, they went there, a $40 shirt, $8, man. Got a pair of shorts, $40 shorts, $11. What does that have to do? Why? Because the season changed and they're trying to get rid of it. You know, it's not summer, and soon it won't be 2020. And I'm not going into 2021 talking about how hard it was, how we had to do this, and about the lack of toilet paper. I'm not going into I'm going into 2021 with the angels' army of God ready to do warfare to bring in the last harvest. Who's with me this morning? Give God a praise if you are. Let me tell you why we lift our hands when we come to worship. Because I'm focusing on one thing. If I don't lift my hands, I'm not a living sacrifice to God. Lifting my hands isn't something the Rock Church started. It's an act of surrender. God receives no worship from an unsurrendered heart. No matter if I shout, spit, dance, God only takes worship from a surrender. And you come in here and lift your hands and worship, you're saying, I'm surrendering to you, God. Hallelujah. Forget those things. Forget those things. People that hurt you, slighted you. Forget those things. Even the good things. No, we thank God for them. But it's time to move on, man. We've gone around this mountain too long. We've gone around 2020 too long. It's time to move on. One thing, Paul said, forget. Another said, he said, reaching forth. Everybody say, reach forth. Reach forth. New things. Reach forth. Reach forth. Listen, we learned things in this year that God is going to use in the new year. We've learned that we can't reach to a building. We've learned we can't reach to a religious system, a mythology on Sunday morning. We learned that this thing is back to my relationship with God. We've learned that it's still not by might or power. We've learned that God has more. And if I'll just get out of the way, if I'll just step out of the way, then God will move, because without Him, I can do nothing. Give God a shout, somebody. I gotta reach. I gotta reach forward. Listen, the race is not to the swift. Listen, the race is to those who have focused their life on the one thing. The reason we're confused, the reason that there's emotions we cannot handle, because we have a divided double-mindedness, focusing on the past. What's going to happen in the future? I don't know. I believe God's my future. I say, God's my future. I'm not looking to the government. I'm not looking to the nation. God's my future. Are you kidding me? None of those saved me. God saved me. Paul said, listen, you better forget some things and you better reach for some things. Then he says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. The word press means a determined effort, a choice. I choose to get up and seek my Father. I choose to watch my mouth. I choose to get into His Word. I choose for the Spirit of God to dwell. I choose. It's a determined press. Because I want to tell you someone else who's pressing, it's the devil. I want to tell you someone else who's pressing, it's demon spirits. And I am not going to allow the demons of hell to press towards their darkness more than I'm pressing towards the light. Who's with me today? Rise up, O Israel. Rise up, O people of God. Rise up and possess that which God has given you. Give them a shout, somebody. Forget, reach, and press. I'm going to give you four practical spiritual ways to do this. How many want these? Luke chapter 10, verse 11. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. I guess Martha lived in 2020. Amen. But one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which is not going to be taken away from her. One thing is needful. What is that? It's your relationship with Jesus Christ. One thing is needful. It starts there. I can't have more of a relationship with church than I do with Jesus. A lot of people are religious. They go to the church, get holy water, and bless all. They have no relationship with Jesus Christ. One thing is needful. Listen, we cannot come to God and having ignored Him, God doesn't like to be ignored, and He does not like to be forgotten. I can actually come to the house of God having gone a week without praying and think a few minutes by giving God my body is pleasing Him. Not so. I'll go home and I'll be Martha. How many have gone to the house of God, you praise the Lord, everything was wonderful, angels, and you go home and you're clanging pots and telling your wife what to do and your husband what to do and mad at the neighbors. We'll just move on from that. I've got a Martha syndrome. Say, Martha, oh yeah, she had faith for Lazarus and the resurrection, but that's because Jesus corrected her, said, listen, Martha, you got to get this right, girl. The one thing, priority in your life is a relationship with me. That's the priority. Mary got it. You don't got it. There's a lot of people that don't got it. A lot of people that don't got it. God is jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Zechariah says He sings over you with singing. Morning by morning, He's waiting there to talk to you. Morning by morning, He wants to commune with us. Commune with me. Remember that song, Commune with Me? Between the wings of the cherubims. That's why God established the Holy of Holies, because He wanted to commune with man. But because of sin, He could only do it through rituals and one high priest. But now we have a greater high priest that's gone into the heavens. Anytime you can commune with God, and God says, I'm jealous over you. I don't want you just to be a church attender. I want you to be a David. I want you to follow me. I want you to be a Mary. I want your heart to burn to know me. That's what church is about. It'll never change. He said, one thing's needful. One thing. It starts with my relationship. You can push out discouragement. You can push out depression. You can push out fear by simply being in the presence of Jesus, simply sitting at His feet. You can get rid of the antidepressant medicine. You can get rid of anxiety medicine, because when you sit at the feet of Jesus, you're sitting at the great healer, the great physician. Don't tell me that drugs are stronger than God. Don't tell me that drugs can do what God can. They can't. They might help you for a season. But one thing's needful. Sit at His feet and be blessed by His presence. Give Him a praise, somebody. Listen, one thing's needful. Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up thy cross and follow me. One thing you lack, and you lack it because you love money. You lack it because you worship at the throne of the golden coin, the harlot of Babylon, the riches of this world. You lack compassion. You lack motivation to even be part of something to help people, because money is still your God. He went away sorrowful because he wouldn't admit he had a money problem. Who am I talking to? I tell people this, and I'll say it till Jesus comes. There's no way to know you don't love money if you cannot tithe. It is impossible to know if you love money. Do God's people love money? Sure. Why do you think the seven letters? Every once in a while, got to ask ourselves, do I need a new toaster or do I need to pay my tithes? Do I need to make sure I'm not consumed with it? Do I really believe God can take care of me? Or do I want to hoard this money, maybe throw a dollar in? Now, why am I saying this? Because if we're going to have God come into our house and bless us, there's one thing that's needful, and that is being caring about people. There's one thing needful, and it's not your career first. or your car or your new truck. One thing's needful: to realize that I have compassion for the hurting. I have compassion for the abused and those in domestic violence and those have gone through rape and torture. I have compassion. Sell everything you've got and follow me and I'll make you a fish. I'll cause you to be like me, to love people. But he held on to his riches. It's like the man that had a great harvest. He said, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to build bigger barns. God said, thou fool. You know, if God calls you a fool, you're in trouble. He don't mince words. Thou fool, this night thy soul will be required of you. And what's going to happen to all that stuff? He could have said, you know what? I'm not going to build a bigger barn. I'm going to build me a church for our city. I'm not going to build a bigger barn. I'm going to have a ministry to the poor. I'm not going to build a bigger barn. I'm going to have a Bible school to train folks. I'm not going to have a bigger barn. I don't need a bigger house, a bigger car, a newer this. He lacked what was really important. One thing you lack, he said. I like this in John chapter 9:24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Really, Pharisees? You know this man is a sinner? Wow, well, what are you? I can't stand hypocrisy. And God can't either. So I ask God, God, whatever you got to do, purge out any hypocrisy in my life. I will not be a hypocrite. I will not be one thing here and one thing home. I will not be one thing here and one thing in my marriage. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. God, whatever it takes. He said, he answered and said, whether he's a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. One thing I know. He opened my eyes. Do you know why you're here this morning? Because you were blind and he opened your eyes. Do you know why I'm here today? Because I once was blind. Now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Blind, but now I see. Blind, but now I see. And that's talking about initial salvation. But I realize this, there's another touch we need to see. Jesus prayed for a blind man and he said, what do you see? He says, I see trees walking as men. Jesus touched him again and he saw clearly. See, the body of Christ in the church, we got to see real clear in this hour. We got to be really focused. You know, I remember growing up, we had a black and white television. How many remember that? Some of you young people, I know you're never going to raise your hand. We had a black and white television. Watch Andy Griffith, Gomer Pyle, all the Dick Van, all the one on black and white. We thought we were fine. And then my mom's sister, who owned a shop, she had a lot of money, she bought my grandmother a color television. And I remember as an eight-year-old going down with my twin brother after I found out she had it and sitting there at that color television, and I was spellbound. Huh? I mean, what I'm talking about. We forgot all that. And I'm thinking, you know, yeah, God opened our eyes to salvation, but we need another touch. Because I'm not seeing everything I should see. I'm not discerning everything I should discern. I don't have the revelation all that I need. And sometimes, you know, pride and ego and super spirituality, we kind of think we've got it all. No, there's color TV to look. There's more to come. And that's what Paul was trying to say. He says, you got to press. One thing I know, and I love this last one. I love all of them, but I love this one. Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. David didn't say, one thing I want is a great position. One thing I want is to be king. One thing I want is everybody to know my name. One thing I want to be the most anointed person around. One thing I want everybody to say, ooh and ah. One thing I want, he didn't say that. He was like Paul. This one thing was very focused on relationship. He said, one thing I've desired. My desire tells me where I am with God. My seeking after tells me if I'm taking God for granted or presumptuously thinking God will reward me even if I give him my 2-minute little devotion every day. Nah. Seek him diligently. I need to be seeking God more than I did last year. Because a day will come, like Samson, he woke up, he did not know the Lord, the presence of God wasn't with him. It's not that God doesn't love us, it's just that he expects us to keep pressing on. He said, one thing I've desired, I want to dwell, abide. I want to be where you are. What do you think Thanksgiving's about? Whether family can come or not, they're all disputing that, I understand, but because you want to go where someone's living, abiding. David said, I want to abide where you are. He said, you know what? I've been through this life. My brother accused me of coming to the battle when he was the one full of pride and naughtiness. Listen, Saul's been chasing me. I have no place to dwell. Jonathan now has left because he went back. He said, but you know what? Even though David had his 20-20, he said, I still want to be with you, Lord. I don't care about anything else. You know, one day the crown will go to another king. One day I won't be sitting on the throne. One day someone else will be doing your job. One day someone else will be driving your car. One day someone else will be in your house. One day when we die, those redwoods and cedars out in California will still be there. The ocean will still be there. And so the focus of our life to meet the groom should be, I desire to be with you. And all the things that have come against me, let them fall off. But I'm not going to be consumed by them. Children of Israel came out of Egypt. One of the first places they went is a place called Marah. Bitter waters. This is the thing. People blame God. Resent God. God didn't make those bitter waters. They came because they had to go through their journey. How many people have left the house of God? Left Jesus Christ because of a tragedy. You don't rewrite theology because of a tragedy. You get in the Word, what the Word says. How many people have left God because of this and that? But they're drinking bitter waters. Guess what? When I keep my one thing, I go to that tree. And as Moses took the tree and put it into the water, the waters, the bitterness was gone. And you and I in 2020 could not avoid things that were bitter, things that could bring resentment. But guess what? Those that are focused like David, the one thing, they went to the tree, to the Calvary, to the cross, and put it back deeper in their heart. And somehow, even though the situation didn't change, the bitter waters were made sweet. Who am I talking to today? The reason you're bitter, ma'am, the reason you're resentful, sir, is you forgot only the cross can heal those things. Give them a praise, somebody. David said, one thing I ask. I want to dwell with God. Dwelt with my wife now 38 years. No arguments, no fights. Just disagreements, amen. But I still love abiding with her. I mean, we barely communicate in the house. Words, it's just eyes, she knows. I give her a certain look. Let's want a ham sandwich with cheese, a little mustard. Now, if I look the other way, a ham sandwich with cheese with mayo. She already knows. She already knows to do it, amen. And if she looks at me, I know. Bill, can you do the dishwasher and the garbage and maybe vacuum? But we don't even communicate. It's kind of interesting anyway. What's that look now? Okay, hurry up and finish. Okay, got it. That's right. Dwell means to abide. Amen. Second thing, he says, behold. Everybody say, behold. Behold isn't a glimpse or a glance. Behold is a gaze. I was looking at that television. Speed Racer in color. Huh? Gilligan's Island in color. It was like, what? The Weather Channel in color. They didn't have the Weather Channel back then. I wish I would have invented that. I should have got there first. But anyway, it's a gaze. You go to, we went to Busch Gardens Christmas the last couple of years. You go and you see these lights, extraordinary, just gazing at these lights. How do they put a million, who puts a million lights up? Would they start in April? I mean, it's... You go to a garden where there's roses and you gaze. You see a rose is to look at. A rose doesn't seem very useful. And many times we want Jesus to be, you know, come to our house and fix our bathroom. But he'd rather be a rose that you gaze upon and there's a fragrance. And the rose even carries the thorns that were put on his head to remind us of what he did so that I could gaze upon him. Many will not gaze upon him in his beauty. Many will only gaze upon him as the judge of the whole earth. He's coming back with fire in his eyes. He's coming back to judge. They won't see him as the rose. Him. And David said, that's what I desire. Third thing, that I might inquire, and that means to investigate, to look into. In other words, I'm hungry to know. You? I'm hungry to know how you can make the bee that really aerodynamically should not be able to fly but flies. I want to know, I want to investigate, how did you speak and the universe comes into existence? How is it that the sun burns more energy in a second than the whole world does in a year? How is it that there are suns a million times bigger than our sun? And it takes a million earths to make up the... How is it that you knew me before you made the world? How is it that you knew me? How is it that Jesus left the throne of glory to come to a humble man? How is it? See, David said, I want to dwell, behold, but I'm inquiring. I want to find out more how you do and what you do, your ways. How is it that Jesus could come unto his own and his own would not receive him? How is it when Paul was persecuting the church, you appeared and knocked him off his horse? You see, Paul had to forget some things. Paul had to forget the screaming of little children and wives as they were pulled apart from their houses and taken to the Colosseum, and the were taken and used by other men and things, sick things if you read Josephus and the history of Rome, what they did to the Christians. How Paul could keep preaching the gospel, not to feel like a hypocrite when he stood there at the feet of Stephen and held his clothes and watched him be stoned to death. How could Paul recover from that guilt and preach love? Can you imagine the demons of hell that when he wrote the love chapter began to preach on love? Can you imagine the demons of hell and guilt? You're a hypocrite, Paul. You can't preach on love. Don't you remember the cry of those little boys and girls as they were pulled away to a place God forbid they should have been. And the cries of the husband and wife as lions leaped on them and tore them apart in front of cheering spectators. Paul, you can't preach love. And the devil will come to you too. Say, you're not a real Christian. How could you think that way? You shouldn't have said that. 3 years ago, you shouldn't have done that. But if you've come to the cross, the sin is far as the east is from the west. God's forgotten it if it's been confessed. One thing he said, I've desired of the Lord, and I'll seek after. But Paul said this, and I'm going to close. I've not arrived yet. I love being around brothers and sisters that feel like they've not arrived. It's just hard for me to be around those that they've arrived. I can't relate to you. I can't. Maybe I'll, you know, I can't relate. I love being around folks that realize, and people who have thrown the tree into the bitter waters like I've had to do. I love being around people who want to behold Christ, not use him. Many think Jesus is useful. Very few think that his beauty outshines the sun. If you read the Song of Solomon, the daughters of Jerusalem, they weren't gazing upon Jesus. They were actually kind of like a Martha spirit. Because she describes how beautiful, how wonderful, how gracious Jesus is. And after this long describing him, they come and go, well, you know, which your beloved better than anyone else? Huh? Because they don't have the one thing. Martha thought serving came first. God says, no, relationship comes first. I'm going to close with this. R.W. Schambach was preaching these great revivals, thousands being saved and healed. He came. He was a mentor of A.A. Allen, one of the greatest healing revivalists in the 50s, who saw miracle. I mean, right on, he saw this baby, 24 deformities, right in front of him. A.A. Allen prayed. He saw that God heal it, totally restore it. Amazing. He's preaching night after night after night after night, week after week after week. But he said he totally neglected his prayer life. He wasn't communing with God, wasn't reading the Word. He said, God woke him up in the middle of the night. He said, I just want to remind you, without me, you can do nothing. Yeah. As much as we try, Paul says, we come short. Your reach might be higher than mine, but we still come short. We try to do everything we can to reach people, have an atmosphere of the presence of God, but we come short, and God made it that way. So we'll always depend upon him. Interesting, with the bride, he knocked at the door. She said, hey, I'm in bed. I've taken my shoes off. I'm not getting up. And then her heart smote her. But when she got up, she finally decided to make Jesus the priority. He was gone. We can't lose the presence of God in this hour. Just get the presence of God by coming to church. It's an interlocking communion and love for Jesus in your personal life. Then we come together corporately. I came from a religious background. Stand, kneel, sit, stand, kneel, kiss statues, light candles. It might have been a sincere attempt, but it did nothing for me. It wasn't until 1976 of May, as I walked down the Rock Church, Bishop John, long hair, beard, Les Paul, pot, rock and roll was my God. wasn't until I lift. He said, is there anyone out there that needs Jesus? And I remember when I put my hand up, something began. If I had not put my hand up, that's why lifting your hands in the house of God is so important still. When I put my hand up, it's like I felt something was sad. Never felt. And I stepped out on the aisle. And this, when I did, a joy and a grace began to flow over my head. I know it was the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that. When I got to the altar, the floodgates of abuse, depression, suicide, just flooded my soul. You see, God wants to do that for a new generation. He's got to have a people. He's got to have a house. He's got to have a one thing in our lives. The zeal of thine house has consumed me, Jesus said. If you're watching today and maybe you've made something other than Jesus the one thing, riches will perish. You can't take a U-Haul or attach it to the hearse when you die. The only thing you can take into eternity is two things, Jesus and your character. Your character will be known in heaven. If you don't know Jesus Christ, or maybe you need to come back, he's not your one thing anymore. Just be honest with God. Just pray this with me. Just close your eyes and say this from your heart. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all sin. I believe you died for me and rose the third day. I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Spirit and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, just contact us, rockchurchofpetersburg.org. May God bless you and keep you, and may you be like Mary, find the one thing that's needful. Amen. Can we stand up this morning?